Well, here we go. Martin Armstrong has recently predicted on several shows, one with Alex Jones, predicted that there is a 100% chance of a nuclear war in Europe. Now, of course, that's a fairly alarming prediction because it means it's a certainty. But Martin Armstrong is not someone to be taken lightly. He's extremely well-informed. He has a lot of experience. He has his Socrates cycles analysis computer system that he's been using for decades. And then on top of that, Martin Armstrong is just, he's extremely well-informed and he knows the cycles of history himself, even without the computer program. So we should heed his warning. We should take this seriously. But why is he arriving at this conclusion? And I think the summary of his position is that, especially Western Europe, NATO countries in Western Europe, they absolutely need, they need to be nuked themselves. As a cover story for the catastrophic situation that they have created for themselves, they've destroyed their countries, like the UK especially, and the EU currency is collapsing, and they are in dire trouble as a subcontinent. And they need war in order to stay in power. They need to blame an external enemy to deflect blame from themselves. And to some extent, Trump and the United States government needs the same kind of thing. Trump needs to deflect from during the currency collapse that's coming. He needs to be able to point to somebody else and blame them. And so as a result, NATO countries like Germany especially, but also France and also the UK and the United States, they are working desperately to try to provoke Russia to launch a nuclear weapon. That's the game plan right now. Because if they can convince Russia to launch a nuclear weapon, then they can say, see, Russia is the horrible Satan enemy. Russia's a threat to the whole world. They started using nukes. Unprovoked aggression, you know, just like they said about Russia's SMO into Ukraine, which was not unprovoked. It was totally provoked by the West since 2014. But it'll be labeled unprovoked aggression, and then there would be a lot of consensus and support among the people supporting their own governments to go to war with Russia. And the other thing that goes along with this is the fact that many of these governments, like the UK, are facing a domestic uprising, possibly a revolution or a revolt, because the government is so bad, so insane. You know, arresting their own people for posting memes instead of arresting the illegals that are raping daughters all across the country or committing acts of violence in addition to that. So the UK government wants to be at war with its own people. It wants to control its own people. And the best way to get support for any emergency measures that it wants to take is to be at war with Russia first. So whatever it takes, the West is going to attempt to start a nuclear war with Russia. That's where Martin Armstrong is absolutely correct, I believe. And those methods could include a false flag attack. In other words, nuking a city in Europe or a military base or some other target, nuking it, and then saying, oh, that was Russia. You can see them doing that. I mean, who pulled off 9/11, right? Who blew up Nord Stream pipelines? That was the US Navy that did that. So you can absolutely see them carrying out a false flag operation to blame Russia. It's the blueprint of the way the West operates. Now, once that happens, then understand that all these Western countries will be able to basically trample all over civil rights and legal rights of their own citizens. They'll be able to get the free speech bans that they want. They'll say, we're going to block any website that says anything critical about our role in the war or anything that's pro-Russia, you know, whatever that might be. It could be anything. And we're going to have to, you know, take all your money. It's not us. Russia did it. But in order to protect you from Russian, you know, financial cyber attacks or what, they'll just make it up. Then we're just going to have to, you know, take all your money and then reissue a new currency that's safer from Russian cyber attacks. And it's called the, you know, the dollar blockchain or whatever. It's going to be the CBDC. It's going to, the treasury coins, whatever. And again, they'll use war with Russia as the excuse. So war with Russia is absolutely necessary from the point of view of the governments of the West, because they have run out of options. They can no longer maintain control. They can't achieve the mass censorship they want. They don't have a really good way to arrest and jail all the political dissidents that they want to lock up, especially the Palestinian supporters, you know, that they're trying to lock up. They also can't allow the American people to sell dollars and buy gold too much. If that begins to go mainstream, then, oh my goodness, you know, they can't let the dollar collapse like that. They can't let people have financial sovereignty with precious metals. So they will have to urgently issue some kind of a crackdown, some kind of emergency. And it's great to be able to blame Russia. So that's the point of view from the West. Now, let's take a look at this from Russia's point of view. What is Russia's game plan in all of this? Russia knows that if they go along with the escalation, it's going to be very bad for them, because Western countries do have a lot of nuclear weapons, etc. And Russia knows that right now, domestically in the United States and Western European countries, that probably half or more of the people oppose these wars. They don't want war with Russia. So Russia doesn't want to give the domestic populations of Western countries any reason to think that Russia's such a bad country that they have to be destroyed. So that's why Russia would be extremely reluctant to use a nuclear weapon, especially not to use it first. Now, if they are attacked with a nuclear weapon, then you could see Russia responding with nuclear weapons, no doubt. But I am highly doubtful that Russia would be the first to initiate nuclear weapons, because they want to be seen as being on the moral high ground side of this entire equation. That's really critical for them. So Russia, and you've seen this strategy with Putin, Russia is willing to take a lot of abuse, actually, and to take a lot of missile strikes, and to just sustain a lot of damage and not retaliate against Western targets outside of Ukraine. Russia could have bombed, or they could have used Oreshnik missiles to strike military bases in Romania or Poland, for example, or Germany, but they haven't. Why? Because they don't want to hand NATO Article 5 escalation. So Russia is actually being very, very strategically smart right now by being willing to take more abuse and to not retaliate outside of Ukraine itself. That's smart on their part. Russia also knows that time is working in their favor. So the longer this war drags on, actually, the more beneficial it is for Russia. Now, think about it this way. Russia knows that the United States is suffering a lot of financial turmoil, political turmoil. There's a very strong, growing anti-war movement, even among Trump supporters like, you know, myself. I mean, overall, I've supported Trump, especially against all the, you know, the insane Democrat plot to try to destroy Trump with the Russia collusion hoax and all of that. I defended Trump through all of that. I don't agree with everything that Trump does, but as a former Trump supporter, I am a peace advocate. And I want to encourage Trump to get us out of these wars. And Russia knows that. And there's a lot of us, you know, Judge Napolitano, Gerald Celente, Scott Ritter, for example. These are all, you know, peace activists. Maybe that's not the right label, not for Scott Ritter. He's not a peace activist, but we don't want to get caught in the quagmire of endless wars. Also, the United States has run into a lot of financial trouble. The dollar keeps getting weaker and weaker. The debt keeps getting worse and worse. And the political upheaval in the United States, the fact that, for example, the DOJ just launched a task force to investigate the Russia collusion hoax among the Democrats, if we see, for example, Barack Obama being arrested and handcuffed and criminally charged, and James Clapper and John Brennan and Jim Comey and whoever else, do you realize what that's going to do domestically? Is it going to be a revolt, practically a civil war in certain cities, not the whole country, but maybe regionally, some civil war type of activities? That destabilization is going to be a big distraction for the White House, and Russia knows that. So all Russia has to do from their point of view is just delay the whole operation. That's why they don't seem to be in any big hurry, actually, in Ukraine. They're just slowly, methodically causing casualties among the Ukrainian soldiers. And Ukraine is increasingly unable to replenish those soldiers once they are lost, regardless of how much equipment comes in or how many tanks or how many, you know, artillery rounds, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't have the men. And there's not much more Ukraine can do except dramatically lower the recruitment age to something like 18. But Zelensky is already facing pretty big protests in Ukraine right now because of some of the anti-corruption body and how Zelensky moved to put it under his command, because he doesn't want anybody looking into the corruption of his regime, because it's crazy corrupt, of course. I mean, isn't every regime corrupt? Nothing unusual, but it is bad. So the protests would be insane. And there's a risk of a revolt in Ukraine if they lower the recruitment age to something even to 20 years old. There'd probably be a massive revolt in Ukraine. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't live there, so other people know better than I do. I'm just guessing. So Russia, they know that all they got to do is just stay on the current path, and they're not sitting down and surrendering anything to the West. They're not even willing to engage in negotiations unless the West agrees to certain bullet points pre-negotiation. And so far, the West has not agreed to any of those demands. So all Russia has to do is stay the course. They don't even really have to gain much more territory, although they are gaining territory on a fairly steady basis right now, small pieces here and there. But they don't really even have to do that in order to, quote, win the conflict. All they have to do is wait for the West to be worn down, to run out of money, to have a currency collapse, to have a domestic uprising, for Ukraine to run out of men, etc. So from Russia's point of view, there's really no reason to use nuclear weapons. They don't want to accelerate the timetable of conflict. And the only reason to use nuclear weapons would be in retaliation, or if they are existentially attacked or threatened with their very existence in some way. So yeah, if that happens, Russia's going to nuke the bejesus out of whatever the threat happens to be. But I don't think Russia is going to initiate that. Now, back to the West. From the point of view of Western nations, they were hoping that they could achieve regime change in Russia, that they could make the war so unpopular in Russia by causing so many casualties that Putin himself would be overthrown. And this was also exacerbated by some of the domestic terrorist operations that were run by a combination of Ukraine and MI6, like the theater shooting that happened a couple years ago, just, you know, mass shootings and bombing bridges and things, and killing commuters on trains, you know, those kinds of activities. Those are designed to make the war burden domestically very politically expensive for Putin. But it hasn't achieved its goal. In other words, you know, Putin hasn't been overthrown, and Putin's popularity, by all accounts, is still very high among the Russian people. Although, you know, who knows for sure? I don't know. But I don't hear all kinds of Russian people screaming about how we have to end the war. Mostly, what I hear from people who have been to Russia is that the Russian people are saying we have to be dedicated to finishing the war, whatever it takes. And Russia's approach to war, which is to preserve men, not to preserve land, you know, to maneuver to minimize the loss of men, even if you lose territory, that tactic that Russia has been following has actually served them very well in this case. At times they've had to retreat, but they've done so in the preservation of men. Whereas Ukraine, by and large, has ordered its men to hold this territory at all costs. We can't lose any more territory. But in doing so, they would lose a lot more men, because sometimes it's a suicide mission to stay put. Sometimes an organized retreat is the best move, you know, to live and fight another day. But in many cases in Ukraine, the military men are being lost because they're ordered to defend at all costs. So as time goes on here, this becomes a war of attrition, where Ukraine is losing a far higher number of soldiers than is Russia. And I don't know what the ratio is exactly. It might be 10 to 1. It might be higher or lower, but 10 to 1 is probably a pretty good rough estimate, which means for every, you know, 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers that are killed or wounded, you might have 10,000 Russian soldiers. Well, even if it were on par, even if it were 1 to 1, Russia can outlast Ukraine because Russia has a much higher population level, and Russia has a much larger number of not only active duty soldiers, but recruits going through the pipeline to become soldiers. Russia's recruiting, I think I heard something like 30,000 new soldiers a month, or that may not be exactly right, but I think I heard something in that range, which would be extraordinary. I mean, that's a high number. And a lot of that is national pride, because the Russian people want to fight for Mother Russia. And you could say, well, that's because they've been propagandized and they don't really know what they're signing up for. Okay, whatever. But the numbers are there, and the Russian soldiers right now are the best trained or the most experienced land fighting forces in the world. You can't even argue with that. There's no other land fighting force on the planet right now that has just achieved 3 years of battle and has worked out all the modern warfare with drones and everything better than Russia. Nobody, not China, not the United States, not Ukraine, not certainly not Germany, you know, certainly not the UK. The British military is a joke compared to Russia. So nobody's got this experience. So Russia's military is the fighting machine right now, which means they are able to largely dominate the tactics on the battlefield and to choose whether they want to expend men or not to either gain territory or to give up territory when it preserves their men or preserves their equipment. So as a result, because Russia's not in a panic, their battlefield effectiveness is very high, and their battlefield losses are relatively low, which means, again, that Russia can sustain this operation for the long haul, whereas Ukraine's time is running out. Zelensky's time is running out. It's not just the protests. It's also the patience of people like Trump. You know, Trump doesn't want to forever be caught up in this war, especially as the midterms start getting closer and closer. And since Trump ran on peace, at some point, he's going to actually have to demonstrate that he's a peace president, or that he's capable of bringing these nations to some kind of negotiated peace. Trump falsely says that Russia isn't willing to negotiate. That's not true at all. Russia's happy to negotiate, just on Russia's terms, you know? Just like Trump says, well, we'll negotiate with you on our terms. What are the terms? A 30-day ceasefire before we sit down. Well, the reason Russia rejects that is because it's a trick used by the West. It's a trick that's been used before. To call a ceasefire, sit down to negotiate, and then what did America do in Iran? Oh, they murdered the negotiators, bombed the country anyway. And they used the ceasefire as a ploy, a deceptive ploy, to just rearm and then reattack. Putin's not stupid. He knows that. In fact, Trump is stupid to think that Putin is stupid. I mean, Trump is vastly underestimating the sophistication of Putin. But Putin's not falling for it. So yeah, Russia will negotiate on their terms. And what are their terms? Well, Ukraine has to never join NATO. and Ukraine has to denazify, whatever that means. And the West has to guarantee that they're not going to use Ukrainian territory for staging missiles that could be nuclear missiles, things like that. And also Russia says we're not giving back any of the territory that we currently occupy, period. So if you don't agree to those terms, we're just going to keep fighting it out on the battlefield because Russia is winning. So that's why Martin Armstrong's warning about all this should be taken seriously. Yes, this is headed for something like a nuclear war because of the desperation of the West, not the desperation of Russia. Russia can continue on its current course for years. The West can't. The West needs to accelerate this. And so they'll turn to nuclear weapons to accelerate it. The real question in my mind is when the West uses a nuke on Russian forces, will Russia just absorb that? Will they respond with non-nuclear strikes, such as Oreshnik missile strikes, hitting NATO military bases? My guess is it depends on where the nukes came from. So if the West drops nukes from, let's say, bombers, and if those bombers took off from a military base in, let's say, Poland, then Russia will say, you know, we're going to obliterate that military base, and that's our response. And it's hard for the world to blame them for that. And it seems actually appropriate. But I don't think that Russia will nuke every city in Western Europe, because that would be an unjustified escalation. That's my guess. I'm not a mind reader, so I can't get into the mind of Putin or God forbid, Trump. No one knows what's happening in that head. We don't even dare try to guess that. But I'm guessing that Russia will take a relatively non-escalatory track as this war progresses, but the West will try to escalate at every opportunity. So the bottom line, folks, is get ready for nuclear war. Be sure to be fully prepared, stay fully informed, listen to all my podcasts at brightown.com, all my interviews. I just interviewed Colonel Douglas McGregor, for example. We talked about this. And be sure to get fully supplied, stocked up on the things that you need to be prepared. Gold and silver are going to skyrocket, probably, during a nuclear exchange. You can find gold and silver through our sponsor. Just go to metalswithmike.com. And you can find our partners with firearms and chlorine dioxide and all kinds of preparedness and survival supplies at rangerdeals.com. You'll see all the discount codes there, all the affiliate links, everything. Those are affiliates that I've specifically chosen because of what they offer and how extraordinary it is. So that's rangerdeals.com. So thank you for listening. Be safe, everybody. Take care. When you're ready for the cleanest, most nutrient-dense foods and superfoods and nutritional supplements, personal care products, do yourself a favor, do your health a favor, and shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. We have our own mass spec laboratory where we do our own in-house testing for heavy metals, for glyphosate, for bacteria, yeast, and mold, and E. coli, and salmonella, and so much more. We do more extensive testing for the cleanliness and the authenticity of foods than any other company that I've ever heard of. And you can get all of this right now, the cleanest, most nutrient-dense foods at healthrangerstore.com, plus all these amazing categories. We've got personal care solutions for you from toothpaste and shampoo and body soap to preparedness items such as freeze-dried fruits and superfoods in number 10 cans that are sealed and good for very long-term shelf stable storage. We've got home care products such as cleaning concentrates and laundry detergents, automatic dishwasher detergent, and so on. And of course, we never use fragrance chemicals. We never use artificial dyes. We never use fillers or garbage or anything like that. Nearly everything that we sell is certified organic and non-GMO. And even our vitamin C is non-China vitamin C. Non-GMO vitamin C. So shop with us. You'll be glad you did. And we have freeze-dried tart cherries available right now in number 10 cans and in pouches. And those are delicious. You can eat them like snacks. You'll love those. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.